Well, after a day, a week, a month of reading and seeing all sorts of posts, crazy posts, reasonable posts, unreasonable posts on social media, seeing all kinds of news stories, I'm beginning to wonder whether or not the solution to all this is to go back to work. And I have a little plan for that. We're going to talk about it in podcast 918, the Bob Davis Podcasts. All right, to begin the podcast, I want to introduce a new sponsor to the Bob Davis Podcast. It's Brenda from OnTB Rentals. Brenda's going to come on and talk about the rental markets and investment properties. And if you're looking to rent or looking to get renters into an investment property or home that you have to rent, this is the woman that can help you. So let's get her on the phone. Hey. One of the things that we talked about is why people who are looking for investment properties really need management of those properties.
One of the biggest values I feel is why people should have a management company is at the end of the day, an investment is like a business and you should treat it like a business. So having a person that is looking out for you and your property in the best set of eyes is always most important. So you need to hire a management company. You want to hire someone that knows how to do those traits as well as the next guy.
Yeah, so, and you've been managing properties for a long time, so you know how to do this. And so you guys are, you know, really ninjas at making sure that renters, you know, get taken care of as well as property owners getting the rents, right?
People always say that the owner hires the manager, but at the end of the day, it's people management, not always property management. It's people management skills is the important part of property management. I have worked for other guys and have seen the pros and cons, and that's how I built my business. So some of the things I offer other than other companies is that personal touch where I'm on call 24/7 for not only you, the landlord, but also your tenants. Right now I'm in the car, and don't worry, everyone, I'm hands-free, but I am heading to a property where an investor did not know me before he bought the property. It is a duplex, and the upper unit is, we'll say, a hot mess. I go out of my way to put my feet into the owner's shoes. It's like, please, get rid of the maroon kitchen. I swear, there's maroon cabinets in this place. Please get rid of that. There's no vents in the bathroom. So those are the things I come across. I will tell an owner, yes, you definitely should do this. Or, you know what? The small cherry wallpaper in your kitchen is okay because somebody is going to want that in their kitchen. It is a rental. It's an investment. But let's put the money in the right spot. Well, the best way to get a hold of me, honestly, is email. Otherwise, you can call me 24/7 at my number at 651-600-7655. What's also great is that you can text this number. So if you're at work and you're wondering if your tenant's paid, shoot me a quick text. I won't bug you at work. I'll just respond and say, yep, money's in the bank.
651-600-7655, OnTB Rentals. Brenda wants to help people with investment properties. She really knows her business, and she knows how to find properties, crunch out the numbers, determine whether or not there's value there for you, the investor, find a tenant a house, service tenants, 24-hour service, and give property owners peace of mind. Find them online at antbrentals.com or click on the banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcast.com. If you're wondering where to find the Bob Davis Podcast and get a good source for the feed if you're on an Android device, I'm just going to tell you Spotify's the best deal. Stitcher.com is also a good place. For the rest of you, iTunes is a place you can subscribe to the Bob Davis Podcast. Some of you already know that, of course. Tuned In, Blog Talk Radio, and more. Here's the deal. I'm going to talk about social media in this podcast. I certainly appreciate likes, shares, and favoriting on Facebook and Twitter, RTs on Twitter, LinkedIn especially, but I really am not interested in comments. And I'll talk a little bit about why in this podcast. It's not a value judgment about people as a human being. I really do appreciate the shares and the follows on Facebook and on Twitter and so forth. And also, thanks for your donations to the Bob Davis Podcast. Podcast.com for mobile podcasting. More on that as we get later on into the year. Well, I've debated whether or not I want to write this out and read it or whether I want to just talk it out. And I think I'm just going to talk it out. So I'll give you a trigger warning. And the trigger warning is I'm probably going to say stuff that's kind of crazy. I mean, I say stuff that's crazy all the time, even when I write it out. I'm going to say some stuff that might be considered crazy, I could sit here and do a daily coronavirus update in which I gave you the latest statistics and my opinion and the latest controversies and my opinion, and I could go over the latest post on social media that was correct or incorrect, or in my view, all of those things that everyone is doing, whether they are doing their own YouTube video stuff or they're posting on Twitter or Facebook or anything else. And it's got me to the point where I now believe that the real pandemic in this country, the real dangerous pandemic in this country, is social media, Facebook and Twitter in particular. YouTube, not so much, because once you start watching cat videos, then Google will serve up cat videos. So you don't necessarily have to see these videos that people are reposting. And we don't, of course, check the sources of the memes or the reposts or the stuff we're posting from YouTube or the videos we've seen. People just seem to naturally want to find something that reflects their opinion about something and throw it up there. And then that's the God's honest truth. And every agency, politician, and pressure group in the country is doing videos and posting articles that support their point of view, whatever their point of view is. And we are arguing back and forth about disease projection models, death rates, and everything else, starting with it's just a hoax, literally 6 weeks ago, all the way up to don't believe the death statistics because they're just listing anybody who dies as having coronavirus, and we can't believe the death statistics. Remember, it was a hoax. Remember, the number of infections was incorrect. It was probably much less than that. Then it was, as these numbers of infection rise, it's going to affect the death rates, and don't look at the percentages, and it's not as bad as the flu. Now, of course, it's much worse than the flu. We've lost probably 20,000 people so far at the recording of this podcast. And so the flu killed 12,800 last year. So now we can't say that anymore. And it's an endless round robin of people arguing about things and getting really upset. So I do want to say, and I'm very aware that the level of anxiety that we all have is probably more than we are aware of. Our level of anxiety over a number of things has probably reached a point where it's dangerous, in the sense that I don't know how much stress I'm under. I don't know how much. I think I'm okay. I mean, I don't feel anxious, but I don't know. And I don't know what your level of anxiety is, and I don't know how we react to fear and anxiety and quote unquote panic. And there's some sort of decision making. Diagram for that somewhere, that talks about getting to the point where you get so worked up because you're seeing so many different things that you don't know what to think about this, that, or the other thing. Now, in my state, the governor declared a state of emergency. I don't know when. I guess it was April 1st, somewhere around then, late March, and extended it to April 15th. And then he has just extended it again till the beginning of May, I think till May 10th. I could be wrong. And this has just caused all kind of controversy. And now the latest is that certain Republican politicians in the state have decided that it's all the fault of the University of Minnesota, and they're modeling and we're basing this physical separation, or what they call social distancing thing, on these models, which are incorrect and based on bad math and data. And of course, it's politicians that are saying this, and I don't know how to evaluate whether their math is right or wrong. I wouldn't even begin to be able to do that. And I don't trust anybody else who claims to be a mathematician or statistician that it is or it isn't. So I have a couple things I want to say, because it's getting to be ridiculous. First of all, I can't stay away from social media. I have to monitor the reactions to the stuff that I put up. And my approach, as you guys know, is that I'm not really interested in comments. I would prefer that people share the podcast post. That comes directly to my website, and then that goes into my analytics. And what helps me is shares and for people to click on the post, whether it's on Twitter or Facebook or LinkedIn or wherever, and listen to the podcast. And if you want to send me an email on the website or make a comment on the website, thebobdavispodcast.com, that's fine. Those are moderated comments because I've gotten in lots of trouble before, and I'm not going to have unmoderated comments, just so you know. But my sense from being involved in a number of these conversations on Facebook and also reading them and seeing what people post, and I'll give you an example in a second, is this is very destructive. It's very negative, and I don't think it's very good. And at one point, I actually said to a friend, you know, they should just tell the NSA to shut Facebook off, especially Facebook. Twitter is getting there in terms of what people, because it's all this conversation of, you know, link versus a video versus a five line, you know, you're an idiot or any whatever. And it's not getting anyone anywhere. And I don't know anything more about what's going on with the pandemic than I did before I started looking at things. So if I didn't have to look at my the reaction to my posts and go through this whole thing of deleting comments because I don't want comments and I don't want to argue and I'm not going to argue about the shards of a thing. Because what happens if you post something about, I did this podcast where I talked about you need to check your sources before you post something. You need to know what platform this thing or that thing came from. And people wanted to argue about whether or not, you know, I was a Republican or a Democrat, or whether or not I was a, quote, liberal or, quote, unquote, conservative. Aside from the fact that I don't think those things matter anymore, and that I do have a position on things and I do have views about government, and they're very clear if you go to my podcast, especially the last couple of years worth of podcast, you get nowhere, because as soon as you start having that conversation, it turns into shards. You said this and you get nowhere, and it's just it's literally madness. It's madness. And of course, some people would say, well, I like Facebook, and I don't understand why you're saying that. And it's a good thing for people to be able to have discourse about this. But unfortunately, Facebook and Twitter, but Facebook especially, is very easy to control. You know, I have a theory right now about what's going on, and please don't take this the wrong way if you're a Trump supporter, but I have a theory right now, because really anybody could do this. It doesn't have to be a Republican. It doesn't have to be a populist. It doesn't have to be Trump. It can be the next guy. You know, it could be two guys from now. It could be anybody. It could be the governor of your state. This idea that somewhere along the line, what they're doing is they're throwing out ideas and seeing what kind of response they get on Facebook and Twitter. And so when they get to a certain point, then the president says it, and then it goes back out there, like potential cures. There's all these things about quinine being used in combination with Z-Packs and how it's caused people to recover, and it's a really good thing. And then there are some studies now coming out talking about side effects and so forth and so on. But you can't, once a person's decided that the quinine thing is a great thing, this is what we should be doing. And of course, they're not going to make that determination. People think, some people, that it's a good idea, that people should be able to talk. They should let off steam. This is something that's part of being you know, sequestered and quarantined. And we should be able to share. And you know, why are you so down on social media? This is what's good. Because I don't trust anything that I see. And I think there's a ton of misinformation. I don't understand how people complain about fake news from the New York Times and then turn around and believe anything on social media. There's a guy who happens to be an Indian doctor, and I bring it up because he's been saying, you know, all of their biological models. See, the big thing now is we're attacking the modeling, and all those things are wrong. And I have a PhD in biology, so I know. And who is this guy? Do you know who this guy is? Dr. I forgot his name. Dr. Shiva. Dr. Shiva is actually a former candidate against Elizabeth Warren for Senate, and said it takes an Indian to know a fake Indian, even though he's of Asian Indian descent, not American Indian descent. But in any case, people don't know. This is the guy that said he invented email, which he did not. Most assuredly, he did not invent email, but he says he did, and actually sued somebody and lost in court He is a, I would just say he is a character of infamy, not necessarily an authority on biological, but his business is he has software that models, I don't want to say pandemics, but models epidemics and pandemics. And so he's selling his wares, and people are my friends who would never pay any attention to this guy in any other circumstances are reposting his videos because they don't bother to find out who this guy is. And he's super popular right now. Everybody's posting his videos, and he's, you know, he's an unsavory character at best. Let's just say that. So that's what's going on for Facebook. So I'm going to propose a solution, and I don't know if people are going to like it or not. And I think it's worth, as long as we're talking about all this other stuff, I think we should talk about this too. So I'm going to suggest in the second half of this podcast that maybe what we need to do is just say, we're going to end all these social distancing rules. You know what to do. You've lived through it for the past 4 weeks. We're all going back to work, and you can go back to work too. So we're going to talk about that in the second half of this podcast. All right, we aren't there yet, but we're going to be. And that is, when it gets to be over 70 degrees, you can certainly turn on your AC and make sure it is working, and you can check that box outside. But if you have problems with plumbing now, like toilets and broken pipes and other issues, heating now, furnaces and water heaters, or in the future, air conditioning, think Ryan Plumbing and Heating in St. Paul for home or business. When it comes to keeping these systems running right, it's all about quality service, and that is what Ryan is all about. When you have plumbing or heating problems or air conditioning problems, you got to have people that know what they're doing. These systems are getting more complicated every year. And if you think you can fix it yourself and you know what you're doing and you're licensed, okay. But the whole thing is, maybe that's not going to be so easy. That's why we call Ryan. They go back 4 generations in St. Paul's Frogtown, quality replacement and repair of all plumbing, heating, and air conditioning systems, residential and business. They are metro-wide from St. Paul, so it doesn't matter whether they're east, west, north, or south metro. You can call Ryan. 651-224-4771 in Minneapolis, 612-927-6488, online at ryanplumbing.com. A lot of people working at home, and they need their printers with full ink, right? And that's a big issue, especially if you have to mail things out, invoices and so forth, that you normally would do at work. If you hate your printer because the print cartridges are so expensive, let me introduce you to Cartridge World. They can save you up to 30% compared to the big box stores, and they're guaranteed to perform as good as new. Those Cartridge World cartridges, free delivery and qualifying orders. They can also get you a printer, 763-420-6632. That's 763-420-6632, or click on the Cartridge World banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcast.com. I started out at the beginning of the podcast talking about all those different things and all these theories and arguments, and all of the arguments are centered on the degree of magnitude of the coronavirus, its effects, its transmissibility, and the death rate as the result. And basically, it's people who think it's really scary and dangerous and people who think it's a hoax. And it starts with the minimization, and it crosses the middle ground somewhere. And then the far other side of it is, this is the worst thing ever, and we can't have this, and we have to do social distancing until this is over with. And then when we get a vaccine, everybody has to take the vaccine. And so on and so on. And in the middle ground somewhere are the people who think if we can just get a cure. So they mentioned the quinine cures. The quinine cures are not cures. They're treatments for the disease, which may or may not help. And all this arguing about how many people have died and they're not, you know, they're lying to you. They're not this. And you should wear a mask or not wear a mask. Here's how we're going to end this whole argument. I think that the governors and I think the president should just say, on April 29th, whatever, you name a date, April 30th, everybody in this country is going back to work. You don't have to go back to work. We will make sure that the employers accommodate you if you don't want to go back to work, but everybody else is going back to work. We're going to reopen the bars and the restaurants. We are reopening places of business. We're no longer going to have what we determine to be essential businesses. By the way, just about 70% of the businesses are considered essential. Keep that in mind. We're not going to have essential, non-essential anymore. We're not going to even tell you anything about what you should do. We're going to give you this thing. We're going to mail this. We're going to do a direct mail to everybody in the country. And governors should do the same thing. It's going to say, this is your checklist for not getting the disease. Go back to work. If you're one of those people that doesn't believe this is a problem and that it's exaggerated, well, then you can go back to work and good luck to you. And if you're one of these people who believes that it's very dangerous and that we need to employ physical separation, then you can stay home and you can order your groceries and everything else that comes to your door, or you can go out or you can stay in or whatever you want to do. And we'll take our chances because and I have to say this because, to be quite honest, I could sit here and give you all kinds of disclaimers about how the economy was already in trouble before this happened and it couldn't withstand a shock. All true, by the way. Anybody who believes that we had this robust economy before the beginning of this crisis isn't well enough informed to understand that there were several dark clouds on the horizon. But having said that, I would never say, all these things with the economy would have caused what we're going through right now. So I just want people to understand that. But what I was going to say was, I mean, I have to say there is some truth to the statement, the cure is worse than the disease in this case. We are shutting down the world's largest economy, and we could have a substantial contraction in GDP, 30%, 40%, millions of people unemployed. And I'm going to make a prediction, and I'm sorry, but if you think that all of those people are going back to work the next day, I think you're confused. Many of the people that have been let go because companies are shutting down are probably never going to go back. And I'm not saying it's going to be millions, but it's going to be a long time before a lot of those people go back. And there's going to be a great human cost to the economic contraction. And if they can't get it restarted, then there's going to be an even bigger problem that may go on for years. So there's that. So maybe we need to say, let's start talking about going back to work and let's let people take their chances. And again, I would say that the authorities could say, we're not going to punish people who don't go back to work. Like if they want to stay home and work from home, then we're going to let them do that. I would say with my networking group, we should continue to do our networking via Zoom conference, you know, things like that. But for people who are of the notion that this thing is being exaggerated and who are willing to go back to work, well, maybe they're right. Maybe it is being exaggerated. And if it is, then they would have no problem going back to work. And I'm not being facetious. I'm saying if people are willing to say, look, I'm going back to work. I know what I got to do to distance myself from people at work. We're going to observe physical separation at work, and we're going to do what we got to do, even if we have to wear masks, which don't do anything, but don't even get me started. And I know that's a trigger statement, but anyway. The coronavirus is too small and it passes through almost all the mesh on all of those masks, including the N95. The only people that should wear one are people who are already sick. And if they're sick, they shouldn't be going out. But in any case, we should know what to do by now. If there are people that want to go back to work, well, we should let them go back to work. And I don't think we should have an issue with it, because I think what we need to do is start looking at these. And why do I say it? Well, I say it because I'm sick and tired of all this, all of these people who don't know anything, myself included, arguing about the extent of and the spread of the disease. I think these arguments that are going on in social media and in the media in general, politicians posting things about, you know, this is all being exaggerated by the universities and the academia, and it's turning into this ridiculous exercise. Okay, let's say, Mr. Trump or whoever, you want to reopen things? Great. We'll leave it up to the governors. If they want to open their state, fine. If Kristi Noem wants to have no restrictions in North Dakota or wherever she is, South Dakota, awesome. Let's let it roll. And let's let people make their own determinations about whether or not they want to go. Because by now we all know what we're supposed to do. That way, the people that don't believe it, well, they can go back to work. Now, the experts say, well, this is just going to – what it'll do is we'll have even more deaths. We'll swamp the hospital system. It'll be all predicting the future. This is what's going to happen. And the people who say it's not, why don't we go for herd immunity? Well, they did that in England. And I remember about a week ago, there were all these posts about herd immunity. Look at what the United Kingdom's doing. They're not doing this physical separation. And then, of course, their cases skyrocketed. So let's use the people who believe that this is nothing, and let's use them as guinea pigs. Let them go back to work and see what happens. And if we don't have it, if it doesn't become a huge problem, well, then we know that we already have herd immunity and it's all good. I've said in any number of podcasts on politics and social media that Facebook and Twitter in particular, so those are, that's pretty much all of social media, although Instagram's part of social media and YouTube is part of social media. But I don't fault YouTube as much as I do Facebook in particular. When I talk about social media, most of the time I'm talking about Facebook. I think it's one of, if not the most dangerous and divisive methods in our society. And unfortunately, it is also probably the most effective method for mind control and propaganda distribution ever invented in history. It is extremely effective, far more effective than television or radio or newspapers or books in terms of spreading disinformation and causing populations to lose faith in their institutions and themselves and each other and their neighbors, and to operate from a basis of fear. So a nod to the people who are the conspiracists, the idea that a population can be forced into their homes or controlled at a level that we are seeing today because of something that some people don't believe is as serious as it is significant. And the ability for, once people are in, you know, basically captives and using that social media as a tool to control their boredom, to alleviate their boredom, is incalculable. And I believe, and I know, because I know to a certain extent some of this is true because this is what the Russians did with bots, but I believe also that there are people who own these platforms that put out this information, and I'm talking about websites, and then that stuff is shared out in social media. That's the reason for the platform to begin with, have tools and information and misinformation in particular, disinformation in particular, that is going to be distributed to control what people think and believe about the upcoming election. And future elections or any other major issue that seems to come to mind. And so this is why I say we've got to end this bickering. The bickering has to end, and if the bickering has to end and the need to end it is so acute that what we should do is just simply say, we're done. We're not doing any more social distancing. We're not doing any more of this stuff. Here's the guidelines. Go back to work. One of the things I'm seeing all the time now is, well, this is tyranny. Oh, no, this isn't tyranny. This is a state of emergency. If they wanted to put the army out in your cul-de-sac with a tank, that's tyranny. And they can do that if they feel the need to do that, which is why I say people should go back to work. Now, a nod to those people who believe that's the craziest thing that you could do. Again, the reason I say that we should go back to work is the people who don't believe this is true, well, they'll be the first ones to go back to work, and they might be right. So we should just say, look, we're clearly not going to end this necessarily by social distancing. Now they're saying, well, they're using these models, and now they're going to show reduced amount of infections because they want it to prove that their social distancing is correct. Well, that's not the way to prove it. The way to prove it is to have an actual test where you say, we're done. Everybody go back, and we're going to see what happens. And we're not going to put the trackers up, and we're not going to put the models up. We're going to have a real-time test of whether or not this is it. And then it will just run its course, because if it kills 3 million people, well, you wanted to go back to work and you wanted to know what it would really do, so now you know. And so the next time it comes up, maybe they'll listen. Instead, it's just like hurricanes. They tell people all the time, don't stay here. There's a hurricane coming. It's dangerous. And what do? They say, we're going to have a hurricane party. We're going to stay here. And then what happens? Well, sometimes the hurricane comes and it's nothing. It rained a lot. And then the people who stayed said, you guys are idiots. Why did you do that? Or the whole place is laid to waste and they're all dead. But then it doesn't matter because they're all dead. So I know it's crazy and I know I sound crazy saying it, but I don't think it's that crazy. I think that, let me say it softly, why don't we all just go back to work? Maybe that's the solution and let the cards fall where they may. Well, guess what? If everybody goes back to work, then perhaps building your dreams can become a reality faster than you thought. And if you're going to be working on building your dreams, you want a contractor, a builder who is going to be with you from start to finish and who does really exacting work and holds himself to a high standard. That is Randy Grabo at Whitetail Builders in Andover, Minnesota. I love this guy because his work is amazing and his work ethic is amazing. And they are out doing stuff. They love to do kitchens, garages, maybe fix up the basement, get the teenagers out of the top of the house. Call Randy Grabo at Whitetail, 612-282-8801. That's 612-282-8801. Check them out on Facebook as well. Whitetail Builders, Inc. Whitetail Builders, 612-282-8801, helping you construct your dreams. So if you're one of these companies that was manufacturing overseas and that all got blown up by the travel bans, maybe you want to look at an American manufacturer par excellence. That is Depot Star in Ramsey, Minnesota. Remember, engineering and manufacturing and design done by Americans. Depot Star, D-E-P-O-T, Depot Star. Check them out online at depotstar.com. Got to remind you again about Ryan Plumbing and Heating. When you get ready to check the AC, you might have problems. There might be issues. And if there are, you can call Ryan Plumbing and Heating in St. Paul. They are an essential business, so they're up and running. 651-224-4771 in St. Paul. In Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. Quality replacement and repair of all plumbing, heating, and air conditioning systems. Residential and business, Ryan Plumbing and Heating. Check them out online at ryanplumbing.com. Yeah, maybe it's a radical suggestion, and maybe it's the worst thing we could do, but it certainly will end the bickering back and forth about how serious this is. You think it's not serious? Okay, you guys go back to work, and we'll see what happens. And I say this, I'm kind of having fun with it, but at the same time, I really do, like you, wish this whole thing was over. So happy weekend, happy early part of whatever week this is. Whatever day this is. Is this a weekend? I don't even know. Happy Easter. Thanks for listening to Podcast 918, the Bob Davis Podcasts. Poop. Go back to work.
Work, 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 work. It's a me happy work, 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 work. You see me do me dirt, 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 dirt. It's a me better work, 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 work. When you walk a line, 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 line. I'm in the cafe, my ta, 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 ta. No time to have you lurking. You make a walk, now you don't like it. You know I dealt with you the nicest. Nobody touched me in the righteous. Nobody text me in a crisis. I believed all of your dreams are duration. You took my heart, all my keys, and my patience. You took my heart, I must leave a decoration. You mistaken my love, I brought for you for foundation. All that I wanted from you was to give me something that I never had. Something that you never seen. Something that you never been. But I wake up and Ellen's wrong. Just